upcoming the official from the Western Cape, Western Province. And honorable members, you most welcome to this committee meeting. The hearing on the second and third court has been on the municipal infrastructure grant in the Western Cape. And that indicates a way of remark, as Chair, that all of us have noticed that yesterday the President and the Deputy President, together with members of this executive, led by Minister of Finance, had a very good interaction with business and labor. And this is also flowing the very good news that we as committee should be joining the rest of the country in congratulating South Africa for very successful roadshows, overseas roadshows. You recall not so long ago, the Minister of Finance led a team South Africa, organized labor, business and civil society in engaging the Moody. The Moody decision should be, this important decision by Moody should be seen as a clear signal that the country economic growth is really on the right path now. We can, as a country, much more boldly ensure that the areas of policy, fiscal policy, consolidation, stabilizing the debt, and efficiency in spending as the Minister of Finance and the Minister Brazil. It is hoped that this decision will serve as a positive sentiment about countries' macroeconomic and fiscal policy and thus boost investor confidence in the country's economy. So the National Treasury, of course, will be expected to continue to work to address all areas of concerns that were raised and to demonstrate that government is committed in translating fiscal plans into concrete actions that will ensure that South Africa remains an investment-ready country. So the positive sentiments were also echoed during the IMF mission visit to South Africa to conduct the 2016 Article 4 consultation discussion. The IMF mission was quoted as saying that the government is making a welcome progress in addressing infrastructure bottlenecks, especially in the electricity sector, and had committed to state-owned enterprise reform and strengthening public procurement. I'm raising these matters, honorable members, as very important issues at the heart of discussing our own financial situation, the economic situation in the country. So these are very important matters and issues that I raised yesterday from the interaction that the President had with various stakeholders of society, so as to ensure that we address ourselves to these matters, particularly in the light of the third quarter report that has been released by CSSA, which indicates high levels of unemployment in our country. So that all of us need to pull together to ensure that we focus in areas that will ensure that there is growth and development in our economy. So, honorable members, the meeting today, the purpose of the OIC, the purpose of the MIT grant, we know to support municipalities with regard to provision of basic services such as water, sanitation, roads, and recreational facilities, among others. Although COCA administers the grant, the department, however, coordinated the activities in collaboration with other stakeholders through various structures. So we have got this interest today to look into the municipal infrastructure grant and to solicit information as committee, which we'll later use in our oversight committee. I think the purpose is very clear. This is the first engagement to solicit information in preparation for the committee oversight later in the year in the province of the Western Cape province. So the focus of this meeting will be assessment of both financial and non-financial performance of the municipal infrastructure grant. And I think I must indicate the research office has actually had a report which assists us, honorable members, to engage with this report, just as a reference in our discussion with this report. So I think with that, members, I want to welcome all of you. And you see that on my left is Mr. Korte, because there's an apology by Estelle has had an unfortunate situation. I think the child suffered a severe injury. Obviously, in the game of hockey here, so it was an emergency situation. So he was sitting in for him and for Advocate Dow as my advisor in Parliament. We like this difficult way. This is a content advice. So he's really supporting the chair of the committee. Honourable members, can we just introduce ourselves? That's KCC. We've got the Western Province here. Yeah, apologies, only one member, Mutara. Mutara Enu and Mugwede. Okay, Mugwede. Dileni has not been around for some time. Yeah, but we take it, we know that he's absent. So can I start from you, Honorable Charles? Okay, Honorable Ndiman. Yeah, he starts first, Honorable Ndiman.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Chair. My name is Lewin Zeman, representing the KwaZulu-Natal province. Just on a lighter note, we're now a member of this committee. You're going to have trouble between him and myself, right?
Thanks, Honorable Zeman. Honorable, yes.
Good morning. My name is Leonard Fela. My name is Kumsila Motashupi. I'm from the Platinum Province, Okonibupiri.
Good morning. I'm Peter Slash and I'm from the Western Cape. Hi, good morning. My name is Farad Ishak and I'm from Mpumalanga.
My name is Charles De Beer. Good morning. I'm from the Northern Cape, the Diamond Province. And the Mapua region with the beautiful flowers, the most beautiful flowers in South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I think let me indicate beforehand that I have received apology from the two MECs, MEC for Finance and Court, that they are unavailable due to other commitments. And however, there's a delegation from the department, which I think I'll give over to the delegation to introduce and also to accordingly lead us in the presentation. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to yourself and to the Honorable Members. My name is Ella Barnard. I come from the Department of Local Government in the Western Cape, and I will lead the delegation this morning. Honourable Members, through you, Honourable Chair, we are coming from two different departments this morning. Myself, like I indicated, from the Department of Local Government, but we also have a presentation from the Provincial Treasury with us here today. So just to indicate to the Members, we will be presenting one combined presentation to yourselves this morning that contains information from both the departments and the Chairperson. If it's in order with the House, I will ask the Members to just introduce themselves to you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Aris Plant. I'm from the Department of Local Government. I'm the Director for the Municipal Infrastructure Group.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Leon Exton. I'm the Chief Engineer of the Department of Local Government.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Yusuf Agent. I'm the MEC Program Manager.
Good morning, Chair Members. I'm Alton Honest, Provincial Treasury, Public Finance.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the introduction. I think let's proceed with the presentation, Barnard.
Thank you. Yes, Alton Chair, Mr. Mari Brandt will do the presentation on behalf of the delegation. With your blessing, I will just move to the computer just to put the slides down.
Thank you.
Honourable Chair, through you, honourable members, I want to thank you for this opportunity to come and present to you on the Western Cape performance on the big infrastructure government grant expenditure. We will follow the following outline. We will look at the performance record over the last 5 years. We will then go and look at the processes and procedures that has actually made this Western Cape government team the well-oiled team that it is, and also giving the reason why we are performing as such. We will then be looking at the cumulative expenditure for the 15-16 financial year, showing you the targets and the expenditures against those specific milestones as set by national government. We will then be looking consecutively at the expenditure as on the second quarter end, December 2015, third quarter, March 2016, and we will also give you a picture of where we're standing currently in April 2016. We will then conclude by looking at the non-financial performance of the grant. In terms of the mixed performance record, as you can see for the last consecutive 5 years, we've had an excellent performance from above 98, 97, only 1 year, the 13-14 financial year, where we had a delay and we had a 96% expenditure, and that was mainly due to additional funds transferred by national government to the municipalities, and some instances we've had delays in the supply chain, especially in terms of the appeals that we get against certain consultants or contractors that appointed and delaying the process. In the 14-15 year, it is good to note that the 97% was the best performance within the country. The processes and procedures within the government that's making this such a huge success are as follows. Most importantly, it's important to identify the right projects. To have the planning in place, we've got what we call a detailed project implementation plan. It is a 3-year plan capital program, and if you can get that plan right and the priorities of the projects, basically expenditure would follow. The tools and the platforms that we use to identify projects of priority within the province are our IP in Darwa, where we engage with the sector departments and the various municipalities, where we do an IDP assessment and we identify specifically looking at the backlog in access to services, but also as a master plan in terms of where we need priority of infrastructure upgrading. We then move into the process that we call the LGMT, where we're sitting with the provincial treasury and we're interrogating the capital budget. This is our opportunity to influence that budget and to make sure that there's alignment between the needs identified in the IDP and that in the capital budget. If we do not agree with the capital budget, we have the opportunity to ask the municipality to rectify, to consider our priorities for the province. Then we've got what we call the M growth, the medium-term growth and review outlook, where we are meeting on a biannual basis, engaging with municipalities on a one-on-one basis, where we identify key problems within that municipality, and we also use that as a tool how to support those municipalities and those challenges that we have communally agreed to as a priority for the municipality. We've got our infrastructure and growth plans. It's one of our more recent tools that we use, where we look that the capital program of the municipality are aligned with the SDF, the Spatial Development Framework. We look at the future growth of that town is aligned with our 4 strategic goals of the Western Cape government, as well as with the National Development Plan, the NDP, as well as any other national priorities that must be highlighted. We also use this to align it with long-term financial planning of the municipality. Without aligning it with a long-term financial plan, you might have a plan that is actually not executable because you just don't have the funds to fund those projects. Then once we've identified these projects, we move into approving the project. We call that the project appraisal process. It's internally an 8-week process where we sit with the municipalities interrogating each project in detail. The engineers from these departments and the consultants come and they present
the business plans and the technical reports of each and every project. We've got all the sectoral departments, like the Department of Water and Sanitation, your DECAS, your DESP, Department of Housing, that's all present in these meetings from the national department side, and they interrogate those technical reports and make sure that we have a project of appropriate quality and value for money. It is important that we have value for money and that we ensure that we've got the necessary efficiencies and effectiveness built into each and of these projects. Then the monthly monitoring and reporting, that is our main role as a Western Cape government, as the implementing agent on behalf of COPTA, we are regularly doing site visits, go to these sites and making sure that the municipalities are actually constructing and progressing on the progress as they are reporting on the monthly report, and that coincides with the monthly claims that they're submitting. We use, our engineers are using that then to certify that these claims have actually been executed on the ground. We have regular monthly coordination meetings where we're meeting with all the planning management units of municipalities and the MIC coordinators of all these municipalities. We also open that session for all the sectoral departments to come and join with us. Have detailed discussions with the municipalities to identify early warning signs of potential problems so that we can structure our support program to support municipalities in narrowing the backlogs and actually removing the stumbling blocks in the way of expenditure on these projects. Then we've got the rapid tool, and that is your informing you in terms of who's responsible, who's actually accountable, who must be consulted, and who must be informed. So for each and every activity identified at these meetings, we identify who is the main role players and who's responsible, accountable, and responsible to consult with the informed who. Then we've got our scoreboard, that is our main tool, monitoring discussions. We've got this board available to all of you. At the end of the meeting, we've got this available. Each and every month, we get this expenditure of each municipality with measures against the allocation as well as to the amount that they're actually planned to spend for that period. And then we measure that against the targets that have been set. And that is also giving us a very good tool to early decide whether we'd like to maybe intervene in certain of these municipalities. If you can look at the graph there, you can see by the end of the second quarter, December 2015, we were slightly 42% above the benchmark that has been set for us. This is also a very crucial time of the financial year. COPTA has set this now as the time of the year where municipalities that have not seen 20-30% of the budget at a time where they actually received letters from national government and we started our conversation in terms of possible interventions required. By the end of March, we are slightly below the target that have been set, but I must in saying that say that we at the end of February we received an additional 24 million rand. So obviously one, that is almost 5% of the total allocation. One could almost add that to our expenditure and you'll see that we've actually spent in terms of what we've planned to spend. You can move on. The figures for the month ending December, the budget at that time was 482,000 million, and then we had an expenditure of 42% above the 40% target. Based on what the municipalities actually planned to spend at that time, we reached 80% of what was planned. If we move into the situational analysis, 6% at that time of municipalities spent above 50%. Our top performers were then Sultana, Bay, Swartland, Drakenstein, Northern, Langsberg, and Beaufort West. 11 municipalities spent between the 40 and 50%. I'm not going to go through those municipalities, and in 4 municipalities spend between 30 and 40%, and we'll see later on that those that spend below 30%, the 3 Prince Albert, Cape of Gullet, and Berg River received letters from COPTA and we had to intervene. On the next page, you'll see that section 19 of the DORA was evoked. Because the municipality spent less than 50% of the total allocation by December. we immediately had meetings with these municipalities, and they were called by DCOC to come and present their action plan as to how they're going to ready the poor performance. In Durban's case, they had no project registrations. They had a project in Calder, a reservoir, where they struggled to get all the processes in place in terms of registration. But gladly today we can report that the project is all registered and construction is in progress and expenditure is standing at 61%. Cape Valleys had heavy rains in the Overberg area, although we had mighty droughts in the central Karoo and on the west coast. It was a different story in the Overberg. There they had quite high rainfall with high groundwater tables, and which delayed some of our work projects in that area. But we're also lucky to report to you that by today, but we're all under construction and we are foreseeing that they will be spending 100%. Prince Albert has very high tender prices that came in. We actually had them to stop those tender prices, and we had to ask them to use their implementing actions on their housing projects to start with the bulk infrastructure projects, avoiding that problem that they've had in terms of their procurement. Next slide. The third quarter, similarly, this is where we received the 24 million and we're standing at 506 million for this financial year. 24 million we received by between February and March. That was a 5% increase in the allocation. The expenditure was 56% of the total allocation and 74% of the planned expenditure achieved. So that's also a brilliant experience. Performance. Situational analysis, 8 municipalities above the 62%, our top performers here, Matsikoma, Saldana, Swartland, Rakatan, Vera Valley, Langeberg, Canelines, and Belfast. 12 municipalities were, however, below the 55%, and immediately pulled them into a space where we've got to have more closely monitoring on them. Those were the Cedarburg, Berg River, and for each one of those municipalities in the presentation, we then highlight what the reasons were for the poor performance. Like, for instance, if you look at Cedarburg, they had a project that was late in implementation, but they actually planned to have it in such a way because they want to roll this project over to the new financial year. So they planned to start late so that they can immediately come the new financial year, they could continue with that project. Burgerville, they had, like I said before, they had a problem there with the Felton Reservoir. Wittenberg, they had a delayed contractor that was appointed. Tierwaterschool, they had in the refuge on the end tender, none of the tenders complying with the responsibility criteria, and they had to restart the procurement process. Then we had a couple municipalities there where we cannot say that they poorly, it was just administratively that they did not submit their claims. But I don't see if they can prove to us that they've actually incurred these expenditures, that's for us not a problem. It's just they didn't meet the deadline of reporting by the 3rd of each and every month. And then Reservoir, we had a bit of concern. The municipality had institutional capacity challenges, resulting in filtering down of that capacity in the expenditure, specifically due to appeals that they've received from some of these municipalities. And then we can report that we had a meeting with this municipality last week, and COCTA is also meeting with them tomorrow to discuss a detailed action plan as to how we're going to reinstate the situation and get them on the recovery routes. For the period ending April, where we're standing now, we're standing at 37%, and we are glad to announce to you that we are again foreseeing close to 100% expenditure by the end of June. We are monitoring our problem area in terms of Reservoir, but we've got a plan in hand to resolve that problem, so we again well on the way to have 100% expenditure as in previous financial years. The non-financial performance, in terms of each and every project that's registered, the municipalities are actually plotting how many households will benefit from those projects. So under the water, sanitation, sport, electricity, solid waste projects, we've noted those number of households that will benefit. We then indicate each month
how much of those were actually achieved. And when you see, in most cases, we already actually exceeded targets that have been set with a low of, say, 40% at solid waste, but forecast by the end of this financial year to be over 100%. Then, this is a lot of detail, but this is available in your presentation. For each and every district, we can plot you exactly what we've spent over the last 3 years, as well as what we're planning to spend in the next 3 financial years, in terms of water, sanitation, roads and stormwater, solid waste, electrical, harness lighting, street lights and sport. Detailed projects are available in the order of 200. How many projects do we have currently? Well, so that detailed list for each and every municipality showing you exactly what is current projects that are running, as well as the projects that are planning for the outer years, is all available and can be made available to you. Go to the next one, that is projects in the fields that have invested in the Katwanis municipality. Next one, in the Overberg district, we've invested in the Eden district, and in the Central Kruger, we've invested in those various segments, Prop 14, 13, 14, and then what we're planning to do, 16, 17, 18. Here I can show you some examples. This is an example of the impact on municipal infrastructure expenditure and how it's actually improving on the lives of people. This is a dust road, gravel road in Eland's Point, and on your right hand side showing after the completion of the project the quality of service that we are providing to the consumers. In the next slide, this is also showing a picture of Eland's Point, the quality of stormwater and paving that we're providing after construction. The next one, this is typical IMAS light that we provided in NYSA, providing safety and security in the area. More and more questions of providing these security lights in the areas of ablution facilities. And then on the last slide, this is in NYSA, a sports facility. We find the sports facilities are providing excellent quality of service to the communities. In some cases, the communities are really valuing these sport facilities because that is something that's really tangible and visible, where else our bigger projects with a huge amount like water and sanitation are not always that visible. This is a sizable project also not. We're encouraging EPWD work, employment from the local community. This was also one of our examples from small contractor development, so it's all part of the MIG program. We're currently visiting the Central Karoo area. We're going to have a whole small contractor development program unfolding in that area. Thank you. Over to you, Ida. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Mingus.
Thank you very much, the panel's presentation. Honorable members, that the presentation, and you indicated earlier that this is a combined presentation. So the presentation, I think, by Mr. Brand covered for both the departments. So I will invite honorable members to start engaging with the report. From the presentation, it shows the performance record over the last 5 years shows positive record. Maybe the professor can indicate how many projects were completed. There will be some hour of your project. All your projects were completed within budget as scheduled. Now, this positive spending surely translated into the set targets and objectives. So how this positive spending translated into the set targets and objectives is just a question really that I want to you indicated here. Policy objectives, this helps to create, you created an asset. Well, what does it mean? Has it created jobs? In that jobs, have you trained people in new training? Have you created sustainability in terms of skill base, a range of issues maybe that you want to just cite as an example of how this positive spending translated into the set, I guess, and policy objectives being attained.
Honourable Member, Honourable Chair, our private offices during the construction period are providing short-term to medium, long-term job opportunities to the immediate beneficiaries of that project. So that's one way in which the community benefits from this infrastructure investment. Obviously, the infrastructure investment also leads to our excellent performance in terms of access to services, where we've got our ratios varying from 90 to 98% on access to water, sanitation, roads and electricity. And obviously, I think the biggest contribution is unlocking the housing opportunities. So once we move in with our bulk infrastructure, immediately a couple of hundreds of houses are unlocked in the housing program that follows, providing housing to communities. Training, obviously as part of our construction program, we provide training to the community members. In terms of this new program that I've alluded you to, where we have the small contractor development, there we will have structured targets. We will have, say, a certain amount of 2 CEs that must graduate to a 3 CE level. We provide this small business and finance training to these contractors, as well as in terms of their business skills.
Thank you very much, Mr. Honorable members, are there further areas that you'd like to comment on? Honorable Dimande? I am noted, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the non-financial performance section, the numbers, are they reflecting the quarters that we're dealing with today? It's the third and fourth, the numbers that are given. Or is over the five-year period or as such. And when we, just for the minor clarity, Chair, when we say households, we're referring to the overall household or individuals that benefited, let's say, the numbers. So it would mean it's almost 19,000. Houses fitted or supplied water. That's what it means. Or is the number of people that fall within the households counted? I don't know if the question is clear. I mean, if we're counting, if we have say 100 households, the number that reflects people that are under each household, or is the set structures of households. And then the other zeros in the other non-financial households, is it because they were not spent, or is it because they were not needed? They're just added in here just to indicate that they those are also services that are there. They quite a number of them that are having zeros in the intersection. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Mandela. Let me ask Honorable Derek Lynch and Honorable Isaac to comment as well. Oh, you like Honorable Isaac to answer? Okay.
Chairperson, thank you. I just need a little bit of clarity from our presenter. First of all, I think it's really an excellent performance, so congratulations on that. I just want to understand how the different projects in the different wards how are they identified? Because quite often if you travel around, people are complaining that certain wards, they feel sort of not affected. I don't know whether that's a very sort of concern from their side. How are they the projects identified? And secondly, then obviously coupled with that, how are budgets been allocated on a ward basis? I'm not talking about bulk infrastructure and stuff. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Sir. Yes, Honorable Gaila, you're on that. Honorable Sir, you want to comment?
Yes, sir.
You'll come. Okay. Honorable Isa, if you're ready.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know I'm always ready.
That was not the case. That's why I waited for you.
Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. Colleagues, you obviously have a good story to tell, based on what I'm looking at here. So I'm somewhat impressed when I look at the percentages and the numbers, and as my colleague says, well done. Thus far it's looking great. Looking forward to the other provinces over the next couple of days. Chairperson, through you, I just want to clear the one question is, does every municipality have a engineer employed as full-time? And I just want to clear that in my mind. And as far as your RACI tool that Mr. Brown explained, just if you can explain as to who are the role players there in terms of the RACI. And then quickly, Chairperson, with your permission, I'm trying to get my ducks in a row. The non-financial performance numbers I've looked at is here, fine. Oh yeah, under the non-financial performance numbers that you showed us a slide, unfortunately my presentation doesn't show a slide number, but it's where you list all the water, sanitation, sport, electricity, solid waste, etc. Obviously, you're showing zero numbers for the cemeteries and parks and open spaces and the emergency services. Just to indicate me even further, maybe you just want to quantify on that, or is it done under a different department, but obviously it falls within the scope. So I just wanted to get clarity on that. 77% of planning spending achieved, that was excellent, I thought. Oh yeah, the last one, Chairperson, through you. Situation analysis in the third quarter. Obviously, HESCO has been coming up. HESCO has been coming up. And it's obviously a problem child for some reason, which you understand better. If you talk of the capacity challenges and positions in the shortlisting process of only 48.8%, in a nutshell, just tell us what's on our behalf. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, Honorable Guy.
Thank you. No, it's just a few clarity. Research, think through research is that you can create more employment for the people by using small and medium enterprises. Now, can you just talk to us about your policy?
Honorable Chair, you very soft. I understand that you say today, but please accommodate the chair also.
Okay. So, research is that what you want to do is that according to research is that you can create more employment by using the small and medium sector. Now, I would like to know with these projects that use the small and medium sector, what's your policy on it? The small and medium sector, because we're sitting with a higher rate of unemployment. Can you hear me, sir? They have also talked to us about fluid transfer. You know, we're sitting with a country that's got that's lagging in fields. And just be open with us on that, and also be open with us in there are a lot of youth academics out there who are sitting without work. If they go to look for work, who are told that you need experience. Would you maybe have any policy to say, in some of these projects, we've taken some young engineers, young architects, and they have gained experience. There's nothing wrong if you've done that, but in future, what are the future plans? Nobody's going to punish you. What are the future plans in doing that? That's in line with skills transfer on youth and women. Can you talk to us about that, please? Thank you.
You will bear with me. I just wanted to take a round of members just to raise issues. You can see how you respond to them. Honorable Shah.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Brandt referred to capacity challenges in certain municipalities. Are those municipalities part of the MISA program? If so, what has been done? Second, Chair, in the research document we received on page 4, the Cape Winelands District Municipality received an allocation of 4.8 million in 2013-14, but failed to report expenditure thereof by the financial year end. Could we get some clarity on that matter? The financial year of 2013-2014. Was this allocation spent or not? Was the money returned to the National Revenue Fund? Thank you.
Then, Honorable Douglas, you want to come again?
Chairperson, thank you. I was just thinking about two more questions, so please bear with me. You referred earlier to training that you are giving to the people, you know, participants in this program. And I was just wondering, you mentioned, you know, the type of training, stuff like that. And I was just wondering, will people be able to operate as, you know, independent sort of small contractors, if you like, after they went through such an exercise? That's the first part of the question. And then secondly, if not, won't they be able to operate as, let's say, proper artisans or what, after they went through your training or the experience that they had? And then I have my last question, Chairperson, with your permission. You referred earlier to somewhere that contractor couldn't get appointed or whatever for what reason, and then apparently you tasked housing contractors to pursue or to execute that work. And I was just wondering how you did appointment on that, because obviously that is, you know, sort of a dangerous thing to do under certain circumstances. So I just want to get clarity on exactly what happened. Thank you, Chairperson. Now I'm done.
Thanks very much. Honorable Mr. Shuping.
Good morning.
Let me first welcome in the presentation. The indication is that you are spending the money quite well. In terms of the presentation that we received this morning, you indicated for the past 5 years how you performed. To what an extent did you provide or have the locally disadvantaged companies benefiting from your project implementation? And to what extent has this good performance created jobs in the province? Thank you.
Thanks very much. Another honorable member wants the second bite. Honorable Shah.
Chairperson, short and sweet. On page 280 of the 2016 Division of Revenue, page 280, Western Cape, I'm just sensitizing honorable members the bulk allocation for water that comes from the National Treasury, which is very important. This is a very important page regarding water matters, challenges for water for our communities, the allocation that is listed here. Thank you.
Thanks. I think all members have fairly raised issues to the team. So I think that on my side, I just want to benefit from the team. The Minister of Finance earlier in introducing the budget, always emphasizes on the issue of efficiencies. Managing infrastructure projects under the five economy. Just the benefit of planning. I'm interested in how you plan capital projects, multi-year projects, because it is planning relating to also the hearing on implementation, executing of projects. So I'm just interested in how you go about the process of planning the project. Can you attribute the positive spending trend on what you are doing in terms of planning when projects are decided and so forth? Let the committee have a benefit of this, and to what extent does it have a positive impact on the allocation? Thanks very much. I think you're welcome to can respond to these issues.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. What I'm going to do is I'll respond to a few myself, and then I'll ask Maurice and the colleague to also come in on some of the questions you have. Okay, I'm just going to respond to the first question that the Honourable Member asked. In terms of the presentation, indeed, the non-financial performance breakdown is given over the last few financial years and also into the next few. So it's not specifically only reporting to the two quarters in question. What we wanted to be able to show the Honourable Members is the trend coming from the last few financial years and how we plan to ensure that the members can form that picture. In terms of the households, Honourable Members, it definitely refers to households and not individuals. So it's a household, say, as per the definition in the Act. I'm going to ask Maurice to just talk to the zeros when he responds a little bit later on. Then I will respond on the rainbow to, does every municipality have an engineer? And we don't. In the West Cape, there are definitely municipalities that don't have engineers. And I think we are faced with exactly the same challenge that municipalities across the country are faced with. The closer we get to Cape Town, we find that people want to go and work there. The closer we get to George, we find that people want to go and work there. But if we go into the Karoo areas, if we go into the West Coast areas, the further we go, we struggle to find capable, skilled people, specifically with technical skills. So definitely they are not. But in the Western Cape, we've come up with projects to try and support municipalities in that very space. The first thing that we have is something that we call shared services. And what we do is we pull two or three municipalities together and they appoint a planner together. For instance, we do that in the Central Karoo. Those are one of the ways that we now give access to skills that didn't exist before. So typically, the project works very well in the West Coast, Central Karoo, and also a little bit in Overberg. And also, Marek will talk to Misa again, but just in terms of, we have engineers helping us out with the MISA project. So for instance, we have engineers in Prince Albert and in Lanesburg. In all areas, they're really struggling. Which is also very critical for us, the Honourable Chair and members, is that we have a very good working relationship with the MISA team in the Western Cape. In actual fact, they work and operate from our offices. So we, of course, we understand the space. We can say to the colleagues, we have extra engineers to help us out in that area. And that's how we move in around. And that's also very close link to our Back to Basic support program that obviously focuses on the vulnerable municipalities that really struggle to attract engineers. Now, the regulations, but also the Honourable Chairperson in regulating what we can pay these individuals are also not helping us. Because you're now already in the hinterland, and now what we can pay you becomes a second conversation. So, but we are making plans, Honourable Chair and members, to make sure that we get that capacity in the municipalities, and it's evident in the spending patterns. I'm also going to deal with the question that was asked about Issaquah. It was raised by Mr. Brand, and I think we raised it because we are currently really dealing with the issues in Issaquah. In actual fact, we were left, I was there myself last week, having a meeting with the municipal manager, and Mr. Brand and the colleagues with COCSA are going again tomorrow. Now, what had happened in Issaquah is that the technical manager had resigned, but over and top of that, it was compacted by a number of vacancies in their senior positions, which one was mixed manager, and the manager in between the manager and the mixed manager. So the entire senior cadre was vacant in the municipality, and they really struggled to appoint somebody. Now, that's already trouble enough, but what happened then was, when they tried to appoint a consulting engineer that in these four municipalities really helped them to drive the project, and there was a dispute on that appeal, on that appointment, because that got dragged and delayed. Now, these things have a compacting effect. So what we can report to the house this morning is that through the intervention by the team and the support from COPDA, we were able to help them to speed things up. They're in the process now of doing interviews for the technical manager. They've appointed NIC managers subsequently, and that all through the personal involvement and commitment of the municipal manager and the team. So it's just those things just sort of spiraled and stopped it, and they're back on track. And we're really hoping that they will meet the deadline. So that is a quote. Just in terms of skills transfer, and Mari will talk a little bit more specifically about the skills transfer inside the NIC, but what is very important for us in the Western Cape is that we need to make sure that those that come behind us must be able to take the lead the from us. So what we have, Honourable Shepherds and members, is together with ourselves as the Treasury, we have now embarked upon a process of a very aggressive bursary program with our municipalities. So we give 50% for only governance-related in the youth, and then the Treasury focuses on financial governance specifically. So that's the one process that we try to say, especially in a place like Lakeburg, Prince Albert. How do we measure that youth get opportunities, but also that we get the youth to work in Lakeburg? So that's sort of very important for us. And also just mention to the members that our Department of Transport and Public Works have over years had a very, very successful program of specifically for engineers and planners, architects out of the rural areas. And they have worked very hard to get those individuals back into the municipality. So there is a very structured process about that. Maurice, I'm going to hand over to you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I'll touch on some of the questions that was left for to me. On the poor households, or the number of zero figures that have been indicated on cemeteries, emerging services and so, the municipalities prioritize in terms of what's currently their biggest backlog. So the fact that we didn't spend a week on cemetery or emergency services doesn't mean that there was nothing spent on it. It could have been funded out of their own capital program. It could have also been funded by RBIC. It could have been funded by emergency programs on our disaster management center or the national disaster team. But we've only indicated to you the work that has been funded by the MIC program. Currently, we're still seeing big focus on water and sanitation. Likely, we've seen more movement in terms of streets. Streets are then also one of those biggest areas where you can have skills transfer in terms of your small contracted development, your bricklayers, your pavers, but they will graduate in terms of from becoming a labor to becoming a small labor contractor, guarding a subcontract basis to the main contractor, but I still do not see them becoming independent contractors. But in terms of the program that I've alluded to that we will be starting with in the central crew, there will be fixed targets where we say a 1 CE, from 5 CE we want to move them to 2 CE, from 2 CE we want to move them to 3 CE. So there will be targets and we'll be able to track that. In terms of job creation, if the project is EPWP project, they are recording on a monthly or quarterly basis the number of jobs that have been created. So in terms of MIC, first question we ask, is it EPWP? If it's EPWP, immediately on the EPWP program, the jobs that's created is recorded. In terms of the RISI, the role players, as a question there, within the municipality, obviously your role players depends on what the current problem is, but it could vary from your technical director to your manager, roads, stormwater, sanitation or water, or it could be within your CFO in your budget office, where it could be a supply chain related problem. Within the public sector, outside the municipality, it's obviously us as the MIC unit. We can also identify the need for deployment to that municipality if we call for that. And then it could be the MIS engineers that we can ask for assistance from. And then obviously we've got our sector departments, but they're more in terms of the monitoring in terms of the targets, specifically the Department of Water and Sanitation. In terms of the SMME policy, small contract development policy, we as the MIC program or the province do not have, like Sandro, I know for a fact, Sandro has such a program. We do not have a program. But in terms of each and every municipality, they've got to have a LED strategy, local economic development strategy, be under something like small contracted development would feature. And then obviously the policy that would be used would be the supply chain policy of that municipality, where they would be giving certain rights to appointment of local contractors or appointment of local labor. Such a tender would normally get a higher rate than somebody that's not using somebody local, and it was in terms of that policy, not in terms of our policy. In terms of skills transfer, like I mentioned, we as department appoint engineers on bursary schemes, and then they work for a couple of years. The same as Department of Human Settlement also appoint in the housing program bursary students. In terms of the skills transfer that's happening on construction sites, there we are having, it's mainly, I'd say, artisan kind of related training. And that could be either in the form of plumbing, or now when we're going into PV installations, it could be PV training, it could be in terms of paving, so that those skills remain behind. In terms of the Saldana IDJ program, there's from the Department of Economic Affairs, a huge, huge program to get sufficient artisans developed for both the municipality as well as the oil and gas industry for the future. But it's very structured programs for these various specific local economic sector development initiatives of the Western Cape government. In terms of the implementing agent, the tender there, where we asked that the tender be included under the contract of the housing contractor. In terms of a lot of these housing contractors, the bulk infrastructure is part and parcel of the initial tender. It's just that some municipalities decide to we will only go for the housing part of it, but they can always fall back onto the tender values that are interpreted for the construction of bulk infrastructure that's related to that housing program. You can obviously not use it for another project. It must be linked to that specific housing program. The multi-year project, in terms of planning, we are encouraging multi-year projects. You obviously get more efficiencies when doing long-term projects. So when we set municipalities with the development of their detailed project implementation plan, we would also always look at these multi-year projects. If you've got stop and go, you've got each time paid and contracted for site establishment and B&G, so that is not something. And I got the example where I mentioned where municipality plans to start like because they want to start like because they're going to run a multi-year project. In terms of the identification of projects, that is all the effort that we're putting in into looking at the IDP. The question as to why certain groups are maybe not getting all the attention. That is all part of the public participation process of the municipality. So if certain ward projects are identified, road projects and stormwater projects are very ideal for typical ward-based projects. But the bulk infrastructure, obviously, all the ward could benefit from that. But we call it strictly the IDP process, strengthening that, making sure that public participation takes place, and that those projects end up in the capital budget and eventually on our MIG program.
Just to indicate the question that was asked about Cape Winelands, the 13-14 MIG allocation, which we are not aware of that allocation, so we will have to go back and ask the municipality and just provide the committee with the details.
The gentleman at the back there. Okay, thanks. You do not want to comment?
I think we've covered most of the questions. Is the committee happy?
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the responses. At the end of this meeting, I think I just want to put to the attention of honorable members. The committee will start the process of identifying the projects that are funded from MIG for site visits during our oversight visit in the province. So we use this presentation to for the secretariat to work together with the province to identify some of the projects. Of course, if out of this presentation as members we are interested in one or two projects, we'll indicate which projects we want to visit. So that we go to this project precisely. Some of the in your response you said there's a collaborative effort in how you use technical skills, but also the issue that members have raised about policy objectives. It is important to that when you produce an asset, it is a productive asset in the sense that communities have participated in building the asset, and also transfer skills and a number of other things that relate to that. Also go to priority areas. Honorable Shal highlighted the issue of water, for instance. The extent in which necessary infrastructure is provided to make water available to communities. I'm just citing it as an example. That currently is the main pressure point. So we'll look into this area. Also how various sectors of the community, youth, women, and economically active people are embraced in this initiative as policy provides some guidelines. So really, in a range of issues, look into the collaboration between the province and the municipalities. How do provinces provide support? Obviously, the Department of Treasury has got much constitutional headquarters are placed in that situation. But how do we coordinate the rest of other governments? The department coordination and integration of the work to support local government. So we're looking into those issues. Obviously, we are interested in budget. Our existence primarily is to look into whether or not budget translates into policy objectives. So that's the core of our business. And that time, we may even go further into figures and then we spend little time in the boardroom, go more on walkabout, and go see sites and talk on site about our experiences and so forth. So by that I'm saying, thank you very much for the presentations and the responses, and please work with our team that will be proposing which areas we shall be visiting and for that period. And send a message to your principal, the executing authorities, that it is always appreciated during our site visits when they are participating in those projects, lead in interpreting some of these reports that you have presented to us. So thank you very much, much appreciated. The meeting is adjourned, members.
Okay.